Good evening. How's everyone going? It's good to see you. If you're visiting us, it's great to have you with us. I hope you stick around for some tea afterwards. Well, not tea, supper. What am I talking about? I don't even drink tea. But, cool. All right, so I want to know, for you who have been here the last few weeks, who's taken up my 1 John challenge? Who's read 1 John in the last few weeks? Hands up, nice and proud. One. Crikey. Two. All right. You've read 1 John in the last 3 weeks. Oh, terrific. This is our last of 3 weeks looking at 1 John. So if you haven't read it yet, read it this week. Otherwise, you're really missing out. So get into it. It won't take you long. It's only a few chapters, 5 chapters. But you'll really benefit. But what does the book of 1 John teach us? What is the core concept of the book? If we took 1 John and we could put it in a saucepan and turn the heat up and sort of simmer it down and reduce it, I'm talking in like MasterChef terms, you know, reduce it down to a concentrate. Well, that's not really MasterChef terms, is it? A stock, I don't know. What would it boil down to? What would be the core message of 1 John? Well, what we would find is this. The core message of 1 John, wait for it, I don't know, is the gospel changes people. The gospel changes people. And 1 John teaches us that it's a radical change. This is the core of what 1 John is on about. And we see that a true Christian is someone who's been radically transformed by the gospel. The real thing is someone whose life has been completely changed by knowing Jesus. Not just a little, but not just a lot, but completely, radically, and fundamentally. The gospel changes people. And because, says John, because the gospel effects such a radical change, a true Christian will stick out like a sore thumb in this world. The gospel changes us, and so a true Christian should stick out. We should be able to tell what a true Christian looks like. And so everywhere we've looked in 1 John, John's challenged us about this change with his very polarized perspective of people. And remember, this is God's word. So according to God's word, we see there are only 2 kinds of people, and they're polar opposites. There are those who are in Christ and those who are anti-Christ. Those who have life and those who do not have life. Those who walk in the light and those who walk in the darkness. Those in God's family and those in Satan's family. There are 2 very different kinds of people. And because the gospel changes people, when someone receives the gospel and they're saved from Satan's family and born into God's family, there will be very clear and very visible marks. Firstly, we saw that the real thing will believe the truth about Jesus. He is the Christ, the promised King and Saviour, who is the eternal Son of God, who's come into the world in human flesh. We looked at that 2 weeks ago. If you weren't here, you can listen to it online. Then last week, we saw that the real thing will do right. They won't sin anymore, but they will walk, they will live, just as Jesus did. And today, we're looking at the 3rd mark of a true believer, of the real thing. We see that they will love. They will love God, and they will love God's children. And we saw that these marks are inseparable, didn't we? We saw that you can't have one without the other. And so if we believe that Jesus is our God and Saviour, well then, we will love God, because of what he's done for us. And if we love God, then we'll obey his commands. Makes sense, doesn't it? And this brings us back to the reading today. Look with me at chapter 3, verse 23. If you've closed your Bible, open it back up, page 1208, 1209, and you'll need it open. 3:23. This is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ,
and to love one another as he commanded us.
See that? It does a full circle. If we go around our circle, if you believe, you will love. If you love, you'll do right. You'll obey God's commands. And what's God's command? To believe
and to love.
And so it goes round and round and round and round and round.
And you can't have one without the other. They're reciprocal and inseparable. And so the one who has accepted the gospel and is born into God's family will have all three of these marks because the gospel changes people completely. And so as we look today at love, we see that the real thing loves God's children. And John has a pretty straightforward logic. Firstly, he says that God is love. And if we know God and are born of God, we'll be like our Father. Look at that passage with me, 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Next, he says that we love because he first loved us. Again in chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. It's a response. It's something that he has done first and has initiated. And we respond to. And thirdly, John says that if we love the Father, we will love his children as well. Who, after all, are our brothers and sisters. 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. It's just a true fact. I know with my friends who I love, when they've had kids, I've loved their kids because I love their parents. And that's what John is saying when we love our Heavenly Father. And so this love is entirely born of the gospel. Now, who can tell me what is John 3:16? Who knows John 3:16 off by heart? All right, out loud. Come on, everyone. I think it was in there somewhere. That's right. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We all know that. But, no cheating here. Who knows 1 John 3:16? No. 1 John 3:16. Let's have a look. Also about love and the love of God. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. See, it's the love of God to us in the gospel. It's the love of God that sent his Son. It's the love of the Son who laid down his life for us, which teaches us to love. It's what changes us and teaches us to love our brothers and sisters. But let's read on a bit further and see what this love looks like. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Friends, love is not just a sentiment, but it is action and truth. Something has to happen. Once I was on a mission, we went to Pitt Town. Does anyone know where Pitt Town is? You don't actually say Pitt Town. If you say Pitt Town, people who live in Pitt Town won't know what you're talking about because it's Pitt Town. Pitt Town. It's sort of over that way. You go through Cat Eye Ridge Road and you squiggle through. It's great. And on the way to Windsor. And we're doing some Easter assemblies at the schools. And we had a skit. And it was called Action Man. And actually, some of you might have met Action Man here a few years ago. And we had a song, and it was called Action Man. And I said, this is how the chorus went. It went, Jesus is a man of action. Jesus acts in love. Jesus is a man of action. What he says, he does. And one of the verses, he didn't just sit back and watch us drowning in our sin. even though it was our mess, our actions got us in. And then it moves on. The greatest act that Jesus did was dying on the cross and coming back to life again to make us friends with God. A song all about this truth that we learn here in John 3:18. That love is not just words or tongue. It's not empty, but it's with actions and in truth. And we know this love because Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Love is action and truth. And we see that this is a commitment. If love is in action and in truth, it's a commitment. Just like the Father was committed from before creation to send his Son, and just like the Son was committed from before creation to become a man and then to die for us, well then for us too, love means commitment and determination to love no matter what. And so what will this practically look like for us today? What are the needs of our brothers and sisters? Perhaps you look around and you think, I can't really see the needs. While sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not so obvious. I mean, obviously, we know of parts of the church around the world who are really struggling, who maybe have no money for clothes and food and clean water and shelter. That's kind of obvious, but what about closer to home? What I want you to do is I want you to look around the room. Yes, look around the room. So I want you to look to the people on either side of you. I want you to look at their faces and smile. If you haven't said hi, say g'day. And look at the people behind you. No, seriously, do it. Look around. Look at each other. I want you to look at each other. The people behind you, the people in front of you. Now these people that you've just looked at and smiled at, I hope you smiled at them, these are God's children. These are the people that you and I are to be committed to loving. You and I are to be committed to loving each other. But what are our needs? How do we love each other in action and in truth? Did anyone, as they looked around the room, see anyone who looked like they were starving or maybe, you know, needed some new clothes or... It's not immediately obvious, is it, for us in our day-to-day lives as we rub shoulders with each other? And so there are three implications I want us to focus in on right now in regards to loving each other in action and in truth. Now, there are heaps more implications of loving in action and truth, but I just want to focus on three key areas of our lives that we need to devote to loving God's children, whether they're near or far. So, three implications. The first one is time. If we're going to love each other in action and in truth, as all relationships need time to build and to grow, we will be committed to giving each other our time. And we'll be committed to giving each other our time regularly. Whether it's here on Sundays at church or in our small groups, we'll be committed to being regular for the sake of each other. Committed to coming early. If you can't, you know, early. Imagine that. Arriving early. Imagine me being early. Sometimes I'm not even early. We will be there as rain, hail, or shine, unless it's totally impossible for us to come. And not only will we be regularly committed to time with each other, but the time that we spend will be committed to giving our time generously. And so when we're present with each other, we'll actually be present with each other. We'll give each other quality time in a quality way. We'll serve each other by doing things that benefit each other, by doing things that benefit the church. Perhaps we'll join some rosters and get involved in serving in different ways. When we spend time with each other, we'll genuinely care for each other. We'll talk to each other and interact with each other. It'll mean we won't just hang around without interacting or getting involved, but we will care enough about each other to make sure we interact with each other. And to make sure we don't leave anyone out.
Can you imagine? Imagine if today, in this room, Jesus was here, disguised. And imagine he left here today and no one had talked to him. That would be pretty rough. But actually, that's what Jesus says. He says, whatever you do to the least of these, you've done to me. Friends, let us love one another, be committed to loving each other with our time, regularly and generously. A second implication is that we'll be committed to loving one another in prayer. We will pray for each other. And we'll do this regularly and we'll do this generously. Whether it be we'll pray together for each other on our own, in our own quiet time, in the privacy of our homes or our cars or wherever it is. We'll pray for one another. And we won't just pray token prayers, but we'll pray genuine prayers, even for those who we find it hard to love. So to love each other is a commitment, and that will include time, it will include prayer, and it will also include money. Whether the work here or the work afar, the gospel teaches us clearly to be generous. We'll hear a bit more on that in a few weeks' time. But we need to support those who teach us and who are doing gospel work in our own backyard, as well as supporting those less fortunate and those further afield, perhaps through CMS or another organisation. And how should we do it? You guessed it, regularly and generously. And so one of the best ways to be regular about giving is through setting up in your own personal internet banking. Just set a regular transaction for the amount that you've determined you can give. And so it goes regularly. That's much easier for missionary organisations, for churches to run when things are regular. And secondly, to give generously. I want to encourage you, if you don't have a budget, make a budget. Because you need to plan to give before you plan to spend. Because if you don't have a budget, you'll just spend. And so with a budget, it allows us to be generous. So these are just a few implications of loving each other in actions and in truth. And so each one of us need to keep thinking about and praying about how these implications will apply in our lives. So I encourage you to go home and pray and continue to do that. Okay, so John so far has given us three marks of the authentic Christian. And I don't know if you noticed, but the subtitle to this series was Authenticity and Assurance in 1 John. And perhaps you're thinking that we've had lots of authenticity but not much assurance. Well, we looked in the first week at 5:13. Have a look there. We see that John wrote these things to those who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The whole reason why John wrote this book is so that we would have assurance. So let's just go back to that last section in chapter 3 and read on a little bit further. 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. See, friends, when we love in action and in truth, we have assurance. And in case that wasn't clear enough for you, John puts all three marks together in verse 23. This is his command. That's the command to do right. To believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. He says, if we obey his commands, we will believe in the Son and we will love. And then we have this sure promise, he lives in us. It's a change that can only take place by God's Spirit bringing us the transformation through the gospel. And so these marks in our lives
are assurance and evidence for us and for those around us that God's Spirit has indeed brought us life by the gospel. It's assurance that God has brought us out of the family of Satan and into the family of God, out of darkness into the glorious light, out of death into eternal life. And so, friends, are you displaying the marks of authenticity? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who saves you by his blood? Have you stopped sinning, stopped rejecting God, and are you doing right? Do you love in action and in truth? Well, friends, if so, you have assurance. But if you don't have this assurance, I want to encourage you to accept the good news of God's love for us, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and that, as we read in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Are you the real thing? I want to encourage you to confess your sins tonight. Believe, love, and do right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you, through John, wrote this letter. We thank you that you wrote it to give us assurance that we have eternal life in your Son. We thank you that you've given us three clear marks so that we can know that we are your children. Father, we pray that you will, by your Spirit, be working in us so that we will firmly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who saves us through his death and resurrection. And that through that belief, we will be caused to love you, to love your children, and to obey your commands. We pray that you help us to do this all the more as we wait for Christ to return. Amen.